Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much today, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Looking forward to this dialogue and discussion together as we face the issues. It's always my joy to have you on board, and I pray that you're listening each day and inviting friends and relatives and family and neighbors and acquaintances, co-workers to tune in, join in this broadcast to listen each day and participate. One of the things we love to see you do is call in, ask questions, join in the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to have your input. This program is designed around you, our listener. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917 at any point during the course of this broadcast, and that will get you straight through to the radio station and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, have your dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma or some ideological philosophy or some political agenda. We're talking about issues today, and each day as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The best view a person can have is a central biblicist worldview. That is, whatever we say or do, whatever we look at as an issue or a problem or a difficulty or seeking an answer, we go to the Word of God. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word that God gives us that should be a light and a lamp unto our feet and pathway that we could serve Him and honor Him, knowing that His Word gives us directions. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed." And then He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice Jesus says to His disciples to continue in His Word. And as we continue, ladies and gentlemen, in the Word of God, we shall know the truth. And the Scripture then says, "And the truth shall make you free." What is truth? Very simply put, it is the Word of God. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." And so when we're seeking truth, we're seeking answers, we're seeking direction as to what God would have us to do, we can do so through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you can join this broadcast by dialing 831-0917. We're talking about today the Islamic invasion of America. The Islamic invasion of America. Let me just give you a little brief pre-introduction to an elongated monologue and discussion on this subject today. We're going to interview introduce to you our guest in just a moment that we'll be having dialogue and discussion on this. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you did not see it. Fake news did not cover it. It was not written up in the newspapers. But recently in France, a mob of absolutely agitated, angry, vicious, vile, wicked, evil Islamic jihadists demonstrated in the streets of France, shouting, "France belongs to Islam, not to the French." You hear me? France belongs to Islam and not to the French. Ladies and gentlemen, today, France and Germany, the UK, and much of Europe are all in the death grips and control of Islam, demanding submission. In fact, the word Islam means submission. And you would think that we could sit back and watch, ladies and gentlemen, the Netherlands and other parts of the world where Islam has come in and Islam is dominated and Islam today controlled. You would think that our politicians and our leaders in America, the religious leaders, pastors, preachers, teachers, seminarians, et cetera, would see what I call the handwriting on the wall and realize there's something major, major wrong with what we see taking place. The political leaders today and the fake news media seem to either be ignorant of the invasion of Islam in America, or they're willing, useful idiots. By the way, Islam looks at those that will carry the water for them. Islam looks at those that will intercede on their behalf. Islam sees those that will go to bat, as I call it, for them and for their issues. They look at those as useful idiots. That's their words, not mine. All we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is simply look at Europe to know where America will be in just a brief few years, lest we do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're delighted to have with us on this broadcast, Daryl Cain. Daryl is familiar with this subject, and Daryl is a man that loves the Lord and knows the Word and is interested in worldview and what's happening. And he's got some other things as an agenda, and I'll let him tell us about it. Daryl, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Well, first off, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. It's just a high honor and privilege. And on top of that, on a personal note, it's just nice to hear your voice again. So thank you so much for being here and continuing to do what you do day in and day out at your lovely church and here on the radio as well. And thank you for having the courage to speak out on this topic. I know that this topic specifically you've spoken out at ad nauseum over the years and have faced tremendous backlash for it. And it just speaks to your integrity and the strength of your fight and the strength of your faith and your own personal character. So it's a very serious topic, as you mentioned. And you're exactly right that, you know, we need only look to Europe to see the future of what's here in the United States, because we are still a little bit further away from it than obviously they are, because we have the advantage of being separated by by large bodies of water. So we have our own issues in terms of a cultural and a demographic shift being sort of violently forced on us. And we have the seeds of the Islamic religion here and the Islamic faith. In Europe, they're directly up against it. And one thing that's very important when we look at Islamic encroachment into the continent of Europe, this is not something that is new. This has happened many times throughout history. And one of the things that always stands out is the just remarkable pace in which they move into Europe when this happens. And that it really becomes, it almost boggles the mind when one sees that. And we're really living through that same thing occurring right now, a rapid repopulation of the continent of Europe by the Islamic peoples, and obviously being brought in by the satanic progressive left that is happy to make allies with anyone that is counter to our traditional Christian Western civilization, even if that person or entity represents basically the exact opposite of everything that they claim to espouse, and an even less, even substantially less tolerant of things like women's rights and same-sex rights and these types of things that they accuse us of. So it's a very ironic situation where, you know, Christian bakers have bricks thrown through their windows, and simultaneously the same people are, providing aid and cover for a religion that, by its own words, is about submission and has no tolerance for anything other than that, and has all sorts of disastrous elements baked into it. One thing, obviously, I know you're aware of is the fact that the Quran actually encourages Muslims to be duplicitous about their faith and their views, and that's something that's fully acceptable when in the presence of quote-unquote infidels. So, you know, you, even by their own religious text, you can't take them at face value when they say, for example, that it's a religion of peace. There may be some that have actually been partially westernized and they believe that, but there are many that when they're saying that are specifically lying through their teeth.
Yes, and in fact, Daryl, so, when you say that, Daryl, mm-hmm. It makes me think about the fact that with their holy lying, holy deceit, it is authorized in the Quran. In the Quran, it is very, very clear that they're admonished not to make friends with Jews or Christians. In the Quran, it is very, very clear when it talks about what their goal is. Surah 385, for example, says, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted. And then in Surah 4101, the disbelievers, that means all non-Muslims, are an open enemy to Islam. The Surah 4:102. Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for the disbelievers, that is, all non-Muslims. And you spoke a moment ago about the their being against the infidel. And for the benefit of our listeners that may not recognize that, every human being, everyone, every religion, every person that is a non-Muslim is considered to be an infidel. And the word Islam simply means to submit. Darrell, here's an article that I find that speaks volumes of what happens when Islam comes into a nation and gets to the point of control. And by the way, Darrell, I'm sure you're aware of this, and perhaps our listeners may not be. For their edification, let me restate this. In every nation, every country, and we could break it down for Americanized ears, every state that Islam comes into, once they get to the point of between 3 and 6%, sometimes as low as 2% in the population, they rise up and start demanding their own halal food in the schools. They demand prayer rugs and foot basins in any places of public transportation. They demand the opportunity to have their five prayers five times a day. And if that is not afforded them, then there is the major, major, major repercussions of them as the enemy coming against them. Here's an article that says the freedom of speech dead in the UK. London's Muslim mayor defends the arrest of a Christian preacher. The article, then, I'll just read a little brief blurb and let you comment. How much has Britain deteriorated as a free society? This much. A Christian preacher from Nigeria recently discovered that preaching Christianity in public is illegal in London because it offends the Muslims. A London Muslim mayor has defended the arrest of this preacher, saying that there are limitations on free speech in London. The pastor was arrested February the 23rd while he was preaching after a Muslim complained to the police officers he was summarily arrested. Darrell, is petrifying to me to realize that a sane society as Europe was and as the UK has been and as London has been, but in fact today in London there are streets that you can't pronounce the names. There are deep, dark ghettos in the Islamic area that police officers will not even walk into because of the danger of it. What does that say for America, Darrell, and what should our listeners be concerned about? You see, one of the things that I find, and that is so many Christians, so many conservative Americans, so many American citizens look at the Muslims and say, well, they're quiet people, they're gentle people, they're not harm anybody. And that is the perpetuation of the lie that Islam wants you to believe. How do we respond to that? What ought we to do? How are the Christians and the conservatives to respond to what is happening in America today? We'll talk in just a moment about the Islamics that's in the House and the Senate and what is going to take place in that realm. But right now, what should we do in the realization of what's happening all over the globe with Islam and its domination?
Yeah, it's deeply concerning, and it's something that I think demands that we as conservatives get out of a ideological box that we've been hinged to. I made this point the other day. An argument could be made that London Mayor Sadiq Khan represents a greater threat to Western civilization than Iranian Ayatollah Khamenei. And the reason for that, and I don't make that statement lightly, the reason for that is that the threat within is perhaps always more dangerous than the threat outside. And we're looking into, you know, these other expeditions into the Middle East, and yet at the same time we have a sitting mayor in the city of London that is Islamic. And London is basically sort of historically the center of you know, the British Empire, obviously, and which is such a deep part of Western civilization. And I've been reflecting upon this a lot because, you know, first and foremost, as Americans, our responsibility is to inform our policy around our well-being and our safety. But as a Christian, I am deeply concerned for the French people, for the British people, for the German people, whose governments have turned their backs on them. And I, as we've talked in the past about, you know, my 2024 campaign and platform, I take this stuff very seriously. And I don't necessarily know that we can just abandon the continent of Europe and allow it to become enveloped in darkness and expect that, you know, this would not come here to the United States. So I think that we have to provide leadership on a global scale. and actually start pushing back on what is actually being done, what is a fundamental dereliction of duty by the European governments in many of these nations, and start applying pressure upon them to push these this encroachment out of their countries. And, you know, the issue where I talk about getting outside of our box as conservatives, how exactly do you do that at this point in time? It's problematic. You know, we have a rule of law. We have a system. What do you do when you're not talking about first generation immigrants? What about when you're talking about second generation immigrants? And what do you do in a situation like France when in maybe 5 or 10 years we're seeing this Islamic population, which at this point much of it is lawfully involved in that country, and we start seeing that group rising to basically majority status in a democracy, which essentially boils down to, or certainly can boil down to, if it's unfettered and not properly checked, can go into mob rule. So the perspective from the Islamic community is, you know, they're having a new expedition into Europe, and they're not even having to really go into overwhelming warfare about it. They're being handed the keys to the country, and they're just informing them to have as many children as possible so that they can eventually overwhelm the base of those countries. So it's very concerning, and solving these problems is going to take a tremendous amount of political fortitude, creativity, and intellectual vigor. So I think that's obviously the starting point, is that we as the United States, we need to be getting involved in this and actually saying, no, this is actually not acceptable for, large segments of the country of France to be effectively no-go zones and be mini Sharia camps. And, you know, we need to be having serious conversations on the international level about how exactly should we view Sharia law? How exactly should we view this religion? And I think within our Constitution, and I'm certainly I'm not a constitutional scholar in any sense of the word, but, you know, we do have things like religious liberty and so on and so forth. But we also have provisions built in for ideologies that are by nature adversarial to the country. And if you take if you take Islam and the Quran at face value, it most certainly fits those qualifications. So very important both internally and externally for us to take a sober approach at this and, you know, recognize that this is a genuine existential threat.
And it is absolutely a major existential threat, Daryl. Mm-hmm. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Daryl Kane. Daryl Kane is the forerunner, the one that is the foremost candidate for 2024 presidential candidacy for the United States of America. Pray that you'll hear him and pray for him today. Daryl, you mentioned about American law. State after state passed what's called ALAC, American Law for American Courts. In the state of Florida, we've tried to pass that ALAC bill three times, and the Islamic jihadists in Tallahassee go in and lobby the Democrat socialist, and they overwhelm them with threats and with funds for their campaigns, and so therefore it's been beaten down now three times in Tallahassee. That's called ALAC, American Law for American Courts. I don't know why any judge would feel impressed to rule on a case based on anything other than American law, and most listening to the sound of my voice would think that would be the norm. But there are cases that's taking place across the Northeast and some places in the Midwest and the West Coast where judges take it upon themselves that they're sympathizing with Islam, or they're closet Islamist, or they're open Islamist as judges, and so they rule in favor of what would be called Sharia law. And for our listeners, Sharia law simply means Quranic law. What does the Quran say? And yet, as American, as Christians, we're not allowed in the courts to say, well, this is what the Bible says, and therefore a good example of that is parents having the opportunity and the responsibility to discipline a child. Many times in the court system, they say if you spank the child that you're abusing that child. But yet the Bible says that ought to be done as a parent, as a Christian parent in particular, but the courts rule against that. But yet not too long ago, a marital case up in, I believe it was Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and the judge ruled for the, based on Sharia law, the Islamic husband said he had the right to beat his wife based on the Quran. And the judge ruled in his favor that that was his religion, and therefore that was authorized for him to do, beating his wife. And we're finding that creeping in. But Darrell, one of the things that is, I believe, and you touched on it in a couple of areas, you talked about the number of births with the those that are Islamic. They're averaging about 8.9 children per couple. And in America, for example, we're down to about 1.7. In Europe, it's 1.3. And anytime in any culture, any people, any ethnic group of people, anytime the birth rate is less than about 2 per couple, maybe 2.3, then you're declining as a culture and as a group. In fact, I believe it was one of our U.S. representatives, I don't know if it was Omar or Ilhan, that's Ilhan Omar, or if it was the other one that is in the U.S. House, one of them said something about, it's Omar, Ilhan Omar, admits that she's not going to assimilate. She's not going to have anything to do with the others, and making some very strong statements about the white people in America, as she called it. But one of the things I believe that's perpetuating this embracing of Islam, our U.S. school teachers, for example, here's an article that says, U.S. school urging teachers to bless Islam students during Ramadan and to do so in Arabic. The article says, a public school instructing teachers to grant Muslims during Ramadan and adjust test schedules to is rising the specter of official district endorsement of Islam, contends a nonprofit legal organization. The article further says, by urging teachers to bless Muslim students in Arabic, the district is running roughshod over the First Amendment mandate of government neutrality. But that's happening, Darrell, across America, with schools that are allowing students to just get up and walk out five times a day if they're there that long. For their prayer time, schools are setting up, governmental-controlled schools setting up prayer rugs. Governmental-controlled schools are recognizing so-called Arabic holidays, Ramadan, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, on the iPhone calendar today, it shows it being El Fitr. That's one of the major festivities and major holidays for Islam, and it's even shown on our calendars. So, Darrell, speak to us a moment. Listen to our listeners today. We've got Omar and Tlaib, and Rashida Tlaib and Omar in the U.S. House of Representatives. Both of them are born Islamics. They're still Islamics, and they're mitigating against anything that's done in America that will be antithetical to their beliefs as a Muslim that's in the U.S. House of Representatives. We got more than that that's total, but across America, by the way, for the benefit of our listeners, this last election across America, there were over 100 you heard me, 100 Muslims running for office, and they're mounting an effort now to have literally thousands run for House and Senate and local governments across America at the 2020 election. We're watching them come in and network in the political system to be able to spin the laws, make the laws that control the citizens of America at the behest of Sharia law. So speak to us, Darrell, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join this dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917. We're talking with Darrell Cain. Darrell Cain is a 2024 conservative representative and candidate for presidency of the United States of America. I'm praying that God will continue to give him Godspeed and strength and wisdom carry out the task that he is networking and has been crisscrossing America now for quite some time in this grassroots efforts in the preparation. Darrell, speak to us, if you will, please, about what is happening in Washington with the U.S. House of Representatives and how should we, the citizens, respond? What should we do?
Yeah, so you know, Islamic involvement in our government constitutes effectively treason. The interesting thing is that the same could be said for the entire Democratic caucus. So clearly it's something that we need to be repudiating and need to be pushing out specifically on the grounds of Sharia. But let's be clear, the Democratic Party is itself treasonous. I mean, there's maybe two or three members of that party that aren't. It's maybe Jim Webb and, you know, possibly one or two others. And, you know, the key here, and you get this fundamental question of why are progressives embracing this death cult? And the reason why is because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And when your enemy is God and your enemy is America, you find no better ally. So we have this very dirty combination of the two. And he spoke about the declining birth rates in Western nations. And what is so disgraceful and shameful is that this has been used by not only the United States, but very heavily in Europe as an excuse to replace the native people of your countries with third world barbarians. The idea that rather than that as a response to these declining birth rates, in order for this, the country of France or Germany to continue, we must invite people in by, you know, by the boat from Northern Africa. And recently, something rather encouraging, Hungary did something different. What they did is they looked at this problem and they responded by producing pro-family agendas. And they've instituted some new policies of their own. So rather than welcoming in the third world to help them with their declining birth rates, they've said, as an example, that if you're a married, intact couple, family rather, and you have four children or more, you will pay no income tax for the rest of your life. So this is two stark, extreme examples of how to address a problem. One is to destroy your people, and the other is to encourage them to survive. And I think it's very important that we want to be going the path of Hungary and not the path of Germany. So we do recognize with these situations that we do have certain problems where a sort of textbook libertarian approach is simply not sufficient because the problems are already here. The sickness is already spread throughout the body of the nation. And without forceful assistance, the nation, as we know it, will fall. It will either balkanize and collapse, or it will just be eroded from within, and the leadership at the top will become increasingly satanic, and the American people will be basically bludgeoned into a corner on this. And what we have to do is we have to get outside of that model and recognize that a concept like the one in Hungary, that is a certain type of big government. And, you know, terms like this for many conservatives are a non-starter. And that alone would preclude the idea. But we have to be looking at models like this because in our own nations, we're going to have to be forceful, proactive, and creative to solve these problems. And we have
to. You said it right when you said forceful and proactive, because right now in New York City, they're allowing the Islamic communities to police their own communities with squad cars that says Islamic community security, Islamic community security, with the cars looking just like the city police cars. And now here's an article that says Islamic Center car looks much like police cruiser. St. Cloud, Minnesota has issued a cease and desist order against local Islamic Center because its security car looks very much like the city police. St. Cloud Times reports that the dispute arose when a council member spotted a car belonging to the Islamic Center of St. Cloud that had the vehicle and said on the side of it, Islamic Security, Enforcement of Sharia Law. That's being allowed in our cities and states across America, just like in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, Daryl, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that it is controlled by Islam and Sharia law. All of the city leaders, the fire department, the police department, and the city leaders in general, they're Islamic. In fact, I am fearful to see what is happening in our nation. Daryl, we've got about a minute left. If you would wrap us up with this last minute, challenging our people to sit up, take notice, and as we vote, as we elect people, to make sure of their stand and we're against Sharia law and that we're going to stand for God, stand for the Scripture. Scripture says very clearly, if the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do?
That's right. And in Dearborn, Michigan, we do see something very concerning, and that's a combining of radical Islam with urban thug culture. And that is most likely what an Islamic takeover of the United States would look like. And that is what we need to be looking out for. So this is deeply concerning. We could talk about this for several hours. God bless you for raising this topic as you have and continuing to provide leadership on it and giving a platform to individuals like myself. The American people need to be woken up and they need to push back, and we need to be willing to step outside of what might have been prior our comfort zone. Otherwise, we're going to lose our country. God bless you, Dr. Youngblood, and you have a lovely afternoon.
Daryl Kane, God bless you. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.